Amen. Good morning to you, Abundant Hope, to everyone in the sanctuary, to those online. We thank you and welcome you to our first in-person service for 2022. Amen. We thank the Lord. Hallelujah for keeping us throughout 2021. We thank the Lord for keeping us these first 3 weeks of summer, as some of us battle sicknesses and illnesses and unknown things and warfare. God has kept us. Let me tell you, we have seen the ableness of the Lord at work these first 2.5 weeks of 2022. And so we give God glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for joining us. Now, if you amen. If you joined us on last Sunday, amen. Minister Josh did an awesome job in preaching the word. Amen. We can give God praise for that word. Amen. That he's delivered to our souls on this week. And on last week, I had the opportunity to share for our covering church, the Sardis Temple Church. And God had me dealing with servanthood. Amen. And so we're going to stay in servanthood. We're going to come from a couple of different scriptures these next 2 weeks, but as much as I try to, you know, Minister Fahim, because there's just certain things people expect at the new year, you know, give us a word that's going to put us on fire and encourage us. And God was like, nah, that's not what y'all need. I need y'all to get it right. You can be encouraged while you get it right, but I want us to get excited about doing right before the Lord, about getting it right. So if you clicked the video this morning, or if you came in the sanctuary this morning ready to be fired up, I pray that the Lord fire you up as he convict us. Because that's what's fit to happen. And can I be honest? I didn't want to preach this since, because I was like, I got to stop. What, Jesus? You know, because the word will convict the preacher first. Amen. Romans 12 and 2. Let's read 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Help us, Jesus, will of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word on this morning. And God, I pray right now that you decrease Tamara and you increase your spirit, oh God, as you send me to declare what you are speaking to us. God, I pray that you settle my nerves, that you allow me to receive and embrace what you're even saying to me. God, I pray that you prepare each and every one of our hearts and minds, oh God, to receive the seed that's going to be sown. God, make us good ground on today, whether we're in this building or online. God, make us good ground so that the enemy will not be able to uproot our natural situations, will not be able to uproot, no attack, no warfare, Lord God, no undisciplined areas of our flesh, oh God, will uproot it, but that it will be planted in the foundation of our souls, oh God, as we continue to surrender and to submit to you. God, I pray that this word not return to you void, and I pray that it accomplish everything that you sent forth to do. God, I pray that you allow this word to enact change in each and every one of our hearts. And God, I pray, Lord, help me that change begins in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to say it again. This word for all of us. So I'll pause or giggle. Know that I'm up here getting my stripes too. I'm not expecting a whole lot of amens. We're going to say ouch together. We're going to grow together. We're going to let the Lord have his way. Amen. The title of the sermon this morning is The Conduct of the Converted. conduct of the converted. We're living in a time where, because of comfortability with worldly practices that we as Christians view holy and righteous living as an on and off again choice, depending on how we feel, instead of it being a constant standard because of God's command. We want to live convenient lives. Deacon, you please cut this fan off. We want to live convenient lives when it comes to our walk, where we can build godly living around our daily routines instead of building our daily routines around godly principles. Many of us have begun to totally disregard the word of God in the area of our walk as we straddle the fence between worldly living and righteous living. Most of the time, to preserve our own image or to feel good about ourselves or to not be classified as holier than thou. It is sad, but it has seemingly become more important how people see us than how they see Christ through us. We're living in a time where many don't purposely take the time out to talk about holy and righteous living in our families. But I can remember back in the day, Deke, when our parents and our spiritual leaders cared for, taught, and protected our spirits from being bombarded with negative and evil words and images. Then we wonder why our society is so violent, why our children have no respect, and why things seem to be just out of control. Now, it is easy to think about the word when it says in Acts 3:1, in the last and evil and perilous days will come. And yeah, that's true. And yes, most of the stuff that we are seeing has been prophesied to come to pass. But if I could be honest and push the envelope by saying that if we as believers of Christ were more concerned about spreading the gospel of Christ instead of gossip, if we were more concerned about standing on his word and living righteously in this world, if we were more concerned with fulfilling God's agenda instead of trying to grab the praise for ourselves, if we were more concerned about lifting up Christ to be seen in us, then we will be able to make a change in this world. I mean, he did tell us in Matthew that we are the salt and the light of the world, that we are sent here to recondition this earth with the spiritual principles and essence of Jesus Christ. And I wonder sometimes, why is this world so bland and so evil? And it's not because of them, if we can be honest, it's because of us. It's because some of us don't want to be the salt, because salt, sometimes you have to go through some things. We don't want to be the light, because then that means not only do we shine, but we're also exposed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of us don't want to be the light because we understand if I walk upright before men and God, if any fault is in me, that the people are going to see it. And some of us get so caught up in trying not to be seen because of the fault, and we don't want to be exposed, that we don't surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit so he can get rid of the fault, so we ain't got to worry about being exposed. And I don't know who this is for, if this is for somebody in the building or online, but I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, if you would focus more on walking in my character, walking in my conduct, you wouldn't have to worry about if people know the secret ills of your heart, because the Lord would cleanse and purge you, and there wouldn't be such a stronghold over your life. Now, I'm not gonna for 1 minute say that we don't struggle with sin, but if we could be honest, when we look around, Minister Aisha, we see some people ain't even struggling with their sins. They outright comfortable. They comfortable.
Ouch.
They comfortable speaking in tongues and cussing folk out. They comfortable being married and having side pieces. Help me, Jesus. They comfortable being married and having side pieces of the same sex. They comfortable. We comfortable. of disciplining our bodies to look good, but not to live good. We're comfortable tearing each other down with brotherly and sisterly smiles on our face. We're comfortable. And instead of lifting up the weak, we stomping them even further. We're comfortable posting on social media the downfalls of others instead of coming in together and covering them and leading them back to the right way. We are comfortable. We are comfortable on leaning on the weed and the pills and the sex and the drugs and the alcohol instead of leaning on the everlasting arms of the Lord. We'll say that, but when the rubber meets the road and all hell is starting to break loose, we turn to everything but Jesus. And then we wonder why the world and God is sick of us.
Wow.
Sick of us. They sick of us, y'all. And we got the audacity to be mad at them. What? We make fun of it. Now, Minister, you should know one of my, you know, y'all know me, I'm comical. So one of the videos that I play, like when I'm in warfare, because I just like to laugh sometimes, sis, because sometimes it get really bad. I like to play plies. Y'all don't judge me, right? Not the song, hear me out, the video where he was like, you mad. You big man. And I was listening to it one day and the Holy Spirit was like, you're right, I am mad. I'm mad because too many of my children profess me and live like him. I'm mad because in this society, hypocritical living has become the norm. When did we get so comfortable, church, and being okay with being infected? Help me, Holy Spirit. Jesus, why today? So many people complaining about, we still in this pandemic. Why you ain't deliver us? Why aren't y'all turning from your evil and wicked ways? Minister Josh preached vaccine to victory. And I promise you this ain't in my notes. This is just what the Lord is downloading in my spirit. He said, I got the vaccine for your infection. But you're so worried about being vaccinated against this virus that you're not willing to be vaccinated against your sin. Wow. And the vaccination against comfortable, sinful living is righteous living. Help us, Lord. Again, I'll never say that none of us will ever sin. We will. But when you truly profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you ought to be uncomfortable. It shouldn't be a way of life. You shouldn't be making excuses. You shouldn't be surrounding yourself with people that's like, that's all right, sis. It's okay. I understand. No, I understand what your flesh desired in that moment, but since you know good and doggone well, you was wrong. Bro, you know you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have went there. You shouldn't have done that. Now, come on, let's ask the Lord to cleanse you from that. You need to repent and you not see, because here's the thing, repentance isn't just confessing it, but real repentance is learning how to unlive it. And some of us need to learn how to unlive some of the stuff we've got comfortable with. In our text today, Lord Jesus, In our text today, we see the Apostle Paul continuing in his doctrinal teachings concerning Christian duties and our relationship to God and declaring to us another appeal. In the beginning of this text, we see the fourth therefore in the letter of Romans. In Romans 3:20, we find the therefore of condemnation, declaring that the whole world is guilty before God. But because of the cross of Christ, that there is now, therefore, no more condemnation, meaning the enemy cannot trip us up once we truly repent and turn to the Lord. In Romans 5:1 is the therefore of justification. In Romans 8:1, there is the therefore of assurance. And now here in Romans 12:1, we have the therefore of dedication. And it is the dedication that is the basis for the other relationships Paul discusses in this section of the letter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In this text, Paul is pleading with all believers to live in the state of holiness unto God by reminding us of the condition of our lives, or what the condition our lives should be lived in conjunction to our relationship with Jesus Christ. This pleading comes as a result of the understanding of the therefore in this text. Before reaching this juncture of scripture, Paul has consistently outlined his teaching with the life of Christ, what he did on the cross for us, what he provided through the cross to us, and the continual benefits the cross provides for us. It is because of these aspects of the cross that Paul arrives to the conclusion that because of all of the provisions by way of the cross, we should view holy, righteous living as a given honor to live before the Lord. It is an honor that we get to even operate in righteous living because Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross. He got down off of the cross. He got up out of the grave. If I could bottom line this whole first verse into a declaration for living, it would be something like this: presenting yourself in an honorable and holy manner unto the Lord by living a sacrificial life and dying to oneself on a daily basis should come as an automatic and continual decision of gratitude. Let me say it again. Presenting yourself in an honorable and holy manner unto the Lord by living a sacrificial life and dying to oneself on a daily basis should come as an automatic and continual decision of gratitude when one thinks of the gravity of what was provided on the cross of Christ. On the cross of Christ, he took on each and every one of your nasty sins. He shed his blood so that we can be cleansed, so that when God the Father looks at us, he doesn't see the dirt that we carry, the dirt that we have lived in. But when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he sees the shedding of his blood, all of his Son on us. He sees us as pure, even though we were actually dirty. He sees us as pure. He sees us as clean. And because Jesus has died so that the perception of the Father could be changed concerning us, the life that we live should be changed because of Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, we deserved to be on that cross. The truth is, notice I said deserve. Ain't no D. Deserve is present tense. We deserve to still be on that cross. We deserved think about what he endured, not just up into, not just the beating and everything he went through when on his way to the cross, but think about the spiritual aspect of what he endured on the cross. Can you imagine the weight of the world's sin imputed on one person at one time? Can you imagine the agony? All of his life, he's had easy access to God the Father. And in the moment he took on our sins, God turned his face from him. You ever done something you know you wasn't supposed to do, and you plead and you plead and you plead and you plead and you ask God, don't take your presence from me? Do you imagine how you feel when you think about something that you've done and you worry about God's presence leaving you? Imagine how Jesus felt on the cross so you would actually never have to go through that. Because even though you may feel that, because of the cross, we don't have to experience that.
God, you better preach it.
And do not be conformed to this world. First, I want to say that this particular text is not a suggestion. It's a command. Do not be conformed to this world. The Greek translation for conformed is fashion-alike or to take on. In essence, Paul is saying, do not allow yourself in any way to display any characteristics of the world. Don't take on the world's attributes. Don't take it on. But can I be honest? I think this command has a deeper significance. Not only is he saying to us, don't change our image to reflect that of the world, but I also believe he's saying to us, don't fall victim to returning to a state that Christ has already delivered us from. You see, once you and I accepted Christ, we became children of the light. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, the eighth verse says it this way, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You and I have already been delivered from living a life of darkness, and we have been called to walk in the newness and light of Christ. Don't lower your godly standards because the world has given permission or authority to change because of the outcries of some. Remember, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Stand on the authoritative word of God despite what goes on around you. It doesn't matter what the government says. You stand on the principles of the Lord. It don't matter what your flesh says. Stand on the principles of the Lord. It don't matter what your good girlfriend or your best brother says. Stand on the word of the Lord. When you know what the word of the Lord has said, you are able. The problem is some of us can't stand on it because we don't know what it said, because we don't take the time out to spend sufficient time in the presence of the Lord. We want to skip through to find a favorite scripture to uphold our nonsense. We want to skip through and find a scripture to solidify what it is that we're doing instead of going and diving and reading and studying and digesting the word so we can get our lives right. And God has sent me on this morning to say, time out for all the superficial. Skimming is superficial. Worship is superficial. Studying is superficial. Discipleship is superficial. Living, you're dirty. I don't like it. You're lukewarm in my mouth and you want me to move. I can't move. Holy Spirit, the movement. If we don't get it right, the movement that we are going to experience is going to be God spitting us out because he's tired of tasting the lukewarmness of our lives. We want movement. God wants surrender. We want movement. But God wants us to get back to who he told us to be. Not this polluted stuff that we walk in.
God knew it. My God.
Come on.
I got your back.
Yes.
This is good.
Yes.
This is good.
Do not be conformed to this world. Stop allowing every and anything that enters into your heart and mind dictate to you the manner in which you live. But by the power and aid of the Holy Spirit, learn to bring every thought under subjection. Stop walking around spreading gossip instead of spreading the gospel. Stop walking around promoting negativity and learn to build each other up. Stop listening to the music that goes around, that goes against every principle of God's kingdom, and start storing in your heart songs and scriptures that will strengthen you in your time of need. Stop being overly concerned about your outward appearance, but be more concerned about the way you represent the one you profess to follow. When you profess Christ as Savior and Lord, the world does not separate you from who you follow, nor will they separate your lifestyle from his ability. And guess what? Neither should you. We should not live in ways that we portray God's grace cheap before the world or God. As disciples of Christ, we have been given the command to go and make disciples of all the world. But we must stop and ask ourselves, does the way I live draw others to Christ or pushes them further back into the world? And wasn't with me. He was like, y'all can judge me if you want, it's all right. He was like, daughter, you can't keep listening to Cardi B. When you working out, you can't count. You can't keep listening to this 2000 trap music because it keeps you pumped up to lift the weights. You can't do that. Because even though you cut the iTunes off, it don't cut off in your spirit. And this is why you find yourself at certain times when somebody get on your nerve, the wrong song pop up in your head. Y'all can judge me. Big Sean shouldn't be playing in your head when somebody get on your nerve. And y'all know what song I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't mess with you. You know that's not even what he's saying. But the Lord is saying, what about my patience? They may be pushing it, but I called you to be long-suffering. And when you allow the wrong things, even for a moment to come into your ear, at some point it's going to come out of your mouth. And at some point it's going to store up in your heart. And God is saying, the people can't see me because you're reflecting more of them. How can I glean from you when you look like me? And here's what we don't get, sis. We want to tell people about the power of God. And I had somebody say to me, you know, I got this friend, and she loved God, and she this, and she that, da, 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 da. But every Friday night, she dipping off with somebody that ain't her husband. And then on Sunday, she'd get before the people, and she's singing, and she's worshiping, and she's talking about the power of God. The power of God, they can't keep her at home. I was like, it should. But then she's like, so why don't it? And I have to tell her, it's not because the power of God doesn't have any effect, but in order for the efficacy of the power of God to manifest in our lives, we got to surrender to the power, even when that power causes us to be convicted. We are in this generation of feel-good Christianity. Shout me. Let's shout the heavens down. I want to see the power of God fall all over the sanctuary. But why you ain't letting the power of God fall in your household? Why are you not allowing the power of the Lord to fall on your tongue, in your heart, in your walk? How can you tell me that God is all powerful, but every time I look at you, you look more like me than you look like him? Do not be conformed. And then we make excuses. Well, it don't take all of that. I want people to be able to relate to me. We weren't called to get them to relate to us. We called to get them to relate to him. And the only way they can relate to him is if we reflect him. Do not be conformed to this world. As believers and followers of Christ, our mind should be set on the kingdom of God. How can we worship and serve the Lord if our time is occupied by the things of the world? How can we live up to the call in the second chapter of Philippians, where Paul admonishes us to be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? We're called to be blameless and harmless, not crooked and perverse with them. Help us, Holy Ghost. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm always glad to see this conjunction, but in the scriptures. This one word lets us know that what we have had so far is not the end, but there is more to the story. Here, after Paul tells us what not to do, he gives us the direction by telling us what we should do. So do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, it's not enough to make sure you don't take on the attributes of the world, but you must make a conscious effort to daily renew your mind and heart for transformation. Not only must you and I make a conscious and powerful decision in guarding ourselves from being conformed or taking on the attributes of the world, but we must simultaneously work and prosper towards being conformed. Thank God he gave the Apostle Paul the admonishment against conformity, but he also gave us the admonishment towards transformation. Here it is. Transformation, or transformed in the Greek, means to metamorphose or change into. It means to change into. Before we go further into this text concerning transformation, we must examine the fact in this particular text. Paul tells us up front, when it comes to conformity, what object it is we are to avoid conforming to. However, when it comes to transformation, it gives us the how and the why, but not the object our transformation should model after, which will leave one questioning just what am I transforming into? But praise God for the entire word of God. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You and I are to be transformed into the image of God. Now, Minister Aisha, as I was reading this text, I kept asking God, why do you choose these two particular words? Why didn't you interchange them and say, don't be transformed into this world, and why not be conformed by the renewing of your mind? And as I continue to read it, God revealed to me why. Let's look at these two words again, side by side. Again, conform means to fashion alike or to take on, and transform means a complete metamorphosis or change into. Here, God is showing us we already have victory in Christ. It shows us that we don't have to be afraid of being conformed by the world, because the ruler of this world has already lost. He doesn't have authority to change who we are in Christ. He cannot turn us back into the lost creatures we once were. He does, but he does have the ability to sneak in, watch this, and give us false identities through conformity. He has the ability to sneak in and give us false identities through conformity. I'm all right. I got my tea. Thank y'all. I love y'all for loving on me. It's over there. But can I be honest? The enemy can only do what we give him the permission to. He cannot trick us into false identities of the world if we stand firm on the word of God. If we don't allow those things to take hold of our heart, God has already revealed to us in both Romans 12:2 and 8:29, it's not enough for us to take on the image of Christ, but we must be completely changed into the image of Christ. Because if we were simply to conform into his likeness, we would never truly change in our character. Let me say it again. If we were to simply conform into his likeness, we would never truly change in our character, because conforming only deals with the carnality of our flesh. But true transformation deals with the total change of the inner man as we continue to submit our wills away to God, as we desire to become more Christ-like. In other words, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's what conforming is. If we were to conform into Christ, we would have a form of godliness, but we wouldn't have the power of God. As believers, we have the capacity and the assurance that we can live in such a way that we can reproduce the characteristics of Christ in our lives, that we can bear such a resemblance to him in the world that the world will be able to say, surely these people believe in the Lord. But we must be mindful that transformation does not come without submission and pruning. Let me just put a pin right here, just a moment. When God allows you to go through a pruning season, don't be so quick to dismiss it as an attack from the enemy. We good for that. Because it hurt like crazy. Them spiritual pruning shears, Sister Jerusha, when they get, when he get to cutting,
yes,
and bending and pulling, like the Holy Spirit was giving me that, right? When he has to prune, God is funny. When he has to prune the dead things off, it's not a polite process.
Yeah.
He don't just come like, oh, this is dead. Let me just brush it off. He come in like, this ain't no good. He pop this off. Don't y'all tell Bishop about this. Bishop don't watch this video, but it's dead anyway. He comes in and he inspects our heart. She tried to hide that too. Pop. I ain't pop nothing else, don't y'all. Look, he thought he could get away with that pop. He went, ooh, God, what in the, what the? He comes and he takes the shears and he cuts. And this is what the Holy Spirit is so funny with. He don't do it outside of our presence. He make us sit front row and center. Well, God, I don't know why this is out of order. Yes, you do. Pop. You're like, you right, Jesus. But the process of pruning hurts. And some of us, some of us miss the purpose of the pruning because we're trying to stop the process. Or we assign, help me, Holy Spirit, the glory to the wrong person.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
Do you know when you blame the enemy for stuff he ain't got nothing to do with? You're calling his attention to a situation God didn't want him to be a part of in the first place. He didn't invite the devil to the pruning season. You did. God, I can't believe you let the enemy do this. He ain't here. It's just me. You're like, God, but it hurt. I never told you when I pruned you, when I called you to live righteously, when I call you to break up with yourself, when I call your character to change. I never told you it would be nice, but I told you I'd be with you. Why you? And then when all hell do start breaking loose in the way that God never intended, did you really be confused? God was like, you called him here. He was minding his business for a moment. You said, why you let the devil hit me? I did that. Oh, I had nothing to do with it. I'm here now, though. Then you wonder why that person that you got rid of and that the Lord delivered out of your spirit shows back up in your pruning season. Can I help somebody on this morning? We got to be real careful what we speak in our pruning seasons, because in that moment, we are vulnerable. Hallelujah. Our spirit is open. Our hearts are open because God is trying to do a transforming work. But when you open your mouth and say the wrong things and declare the wrong things, you invite the wrong things in. And then you have, you are not able to decipher what's God and what's the enemy because you allow something to come in and pollute the process. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And God, for whoever this is saying to somebody, I had you in a secluded process. I had you in a place that was sanitized. I had you in a place like the surgery room. I had you in a place where everything was clean and everything was sterile. Because you didn't have enough discernment to know that it was me, you unsterilized it with your speech. And now things that are coming that I did not ordain are showing up. And now you're struggling between the sterile and the tainted. And I need you to get to a place where you know me, you hear me, and you allow me to do the work. I don't know who that's for. I pray you got it. Listen, we can't deny the pruning season. We got to understand that sometimes the most painful situations we face are actual graceful moments of growth.
Wow.
So the next time you're going through something, before you open your mouth and you say, God, why you let? Ask God, is this my graceful moment of growth that you're going to use and allow me to experience to make me more like Jesus? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, because we got to go by the renewing of your mind. How can we be transformed? How can we be beacons of light in a dying world? How do we renew our minds? Allow me, if you will, to give you another definition. Renewing in the Greek means renovation. Renovation means to restore to good condition, make new, or as if new again, to repair. As I looked at this, and I said, okay, God, how can we renovate our minds in the spiritual sense? And I began to think about how renovations are done in the physical. And God brought to my remembrance all the things that I've learned about renovations down through the years. There are two important facts to renovations in the spiritual and the physical that relates to how we renew or renovate our minds in the spiritual. The first thing, in order to renovate our minds, we have to undergo a spiritual demolition and tear down what's already there. You cannot begin to rebuild or repair something without first removing the old. Have you ever watched a home that has been destroyed in a fire, or a home that's being renovated? Before the contractors can bring in the new materials to rebuild, they must first knock down everything that was standing before the fire. In essence, they knock everything down to the studs, meaning the very bare essence of what's holding the building up. All of the original structure of the home, coupled with all of the debris, all of the garbage, everything that occurred in a fire, everything that existed that is now harmful and dangerous, watch this, must be removed before the renovating can take place. And can I tell somebody, like that damaged house, we must ask God to help us get rid of the garbage that we have allowed to take residence in our minds and our hearts, the false belief systems and doctrines and ways of living. We have accepted the ungodly principles and practices we have picked up along the way. We must ask the Lord to examine the attitudes we have concerning sin. Do we see sin for what it is, or have we downgraded sin to simple mistakes or accepted ways of behavior because of past pains and circumstances? Do we possess arrogant, passive, rational, reluctant, or ignoring attitudes when it comes to sin? If so, we must ask God to tear down those sinful ways of thinking and ask him to build in us a repentant attitude so that we ourselves do not become our own hindrances and our own transformation process. We must ask the Lord to tear down the walls we have built up in our lives, the walls of negativity, the walls of hurt emotions, the walls of false identity, the walls of lies of the enemy, the walls of the hurt of that brother or sister, the hurt of that loved one. We gotta ask God, tear down everything that's in me that's not like you. It's not enough to sing it, but we gotta really say it. We gotta really live it. We must ask God to remove everything from us that hinders us from being able to move forward in our lives as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. So we gotta undergo spiritual demolition. Secondly, we gotta align ourselves with the master's blueprint. We cannot begin to be transformed by the renewing of our mind if we're not intentionally taking the time to understand the master's plan. How can we come to know or understand how we are to live as believers if we don't understand the blueprint? The blueprint that is the unadulterated word of God. Just like a contractor has to have a blueprint in order to know where to put up the new walls, where to separate, and thank you, Holy Spirit, the rooms that are the boundaries between one place and another, before they can rebuild the structure, they got to review the plan. And everybody that's a part of the process has to know and review the plan. Some of the problems that we're facing is some of the people that's reviewing the plan don't really agree with the plan that God has for your life. and you've given them access to review
wow.
something they were only supposed to see once it was done. Help me, Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Some of us, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, have invited people too early to the housewarming. That's how he's giving it me right now. They were only supposed to show up and be able to see the finished product. But because you value their opinion, and because we have been incorrectly taught that somebody else has to confirm it before we can see it, we allow people to come in by telling them, you know, God is doing this thing in my life, and God has given me this vision, and God has given me this assignment, and God has told me to do this and that. What you think? Well, when I read the scripture, I don't ever see Jesus having a conversation with anybody about what the Father told him to do. The only time he even brought it up was when he was looking for him, when they thought he was lost and he was in the temple as a little boy. And they're like, what are you doing here? We don't went all this way. You're supposed to be with us. And you over here doing this, that, and that. He was like, nothing about my Father's business. Some people, you got to learn to just be like, since what you doing, I'm about my Father's business. Well, what he got you working on, I'm about my Father's business. Well, what new thing you got coming up, I'm about my Father's business. Well, what it is, well, here's what it is. When the business is done, I'll invite you over to praise and worship for me. But I didn't get clarity from the Lord that you're supposed to inspect this plan, because it's not your plan, it's not your process, it's not your building, it ain't your foundation. You ain't got nothing to do with this now. You can come to the party, but this building process is between me and him and whoever he sends. The problem is we have lost our discernment because we are so disconnected and tainted with the things in our flesh and the things of the world, that when God speaks a particular thing, we are confused and we don't know. Everybody that show up, oh, they supposed to be here. God was like, no. They're supposed to come and enjoy the party and the fruit of your labor afterwards. They're not here to help you build it. You said that you all in what God is saying to me right now. Here's the thing. We assign qualifications to people based on what we see instead of understanding what God has said. It reminds me, the Holy Spirit is reminding me when he was getting ready to remove King Saul. And he sent his servant to go find the next king. He pops up at Jesse's house. And he was like, surely that's the king. That boy looked good. Remember coming to American Yard is my favorite. That boy good. He looked good. He's statuesque. He's already in the army, so he already know how to fight. Meaning he already got kingship qualities and leadership skills. He knows how to fight. He looks the part. And God was like, nah, I don't care what you see. He ain't it. And some of us, some of the problem that we're having, some of us, the reason why our lives are so tainted, because some people have shown up looking it, but they wasn't it. And because we didn't stop and ask God, are they supposed to be here in this capacity? God is like, no, move them to the back. I'm not saying they can't be a part, but they ain't supposed to be up close and personal. And some of our lives have been tainted because people in the crowd, we let them in a circle, help me, Holy Ghost. And God was like, they was never supposed to be in a part of the inner circle in the first place.
Right,
yeah. And they said, Jesus. They said just enough to sound good, and you didn't even realize there was no substance. And God is in this season saying, we got to get rid of what sounds good, it ain't got no substance. Help me, Holy Ghost. All right, well, I ain't gonna finish that part. So listen, right? Because I gotta be obedient to the Lord. And when I was asking God, well, how do I make this really clear between conforming and transforming? You know, like, God be giving me those shoes.
Right here. You got it.
So when I was praying, deep, I was like, okay, God, how do I make this make sense? How do I illustrate it? Not yes, Sister Trisha, I'll keep it. I got you. God's strategic, isn't it? So this is what conforming looks like. Again, conforming means to take on. So these are the way, this cloak is the way of the world. And he says, do not be conformed. Don't take on what they look like. Because you cover up how I called you to look, how I called you to be. The problem is, some of us misunderstood the assignment because we wanted to be likable. And we misunderstood what relating to people. Here's the thing, God will give you experiences that will allow you to relate with people and not cause you to take on what they carry or take on the ways of the world or take on worldly principles. He'll give you the ability to relate to them but still look like him. So conforming means to take on. And some of us are feeling the struggle because we're trying to break out or take off of us what we took on from the world. And here's what I love. As much as we may struggle to take it off, it's still removable. You can shake it off. God delivered me and helped me to shake off what I took on. God changed my mindset and helped me to shake off what I took on. God give me the strength to let go of what's comfortable. This cloak is, I don't want you to take it yet, but this cloak is very comfortable. It's warm. It's real cold outside. So I want to hold on to it because it's giving me what I need in this moment, but it ain't really serving the full purpose that God has called me to walk in. So God, help me learn how to shake off what I put on. But here's what I love and why he said, don't be conformed like Christ. Because the same way you can shake off what you shouldn't have took on, if you only try to conform, you'll shake him off too. You'll shake off the righteousness. This is why he said, don't just put on righteousness, but be transformed into righteousness. Because you might get into the wrong situation with the wrong person and forget that you were supposed to be transformed. So if you only try to look like him, when it no longer serves you to look like him, you might try to take it off. And when you are transformed, there is no way that you can take off the image of Christ. So I want to help somebody twofold. Take off the worldly things that you accepted. Take it off. Take off that depression.
Come on. That's a heavy weight. Come
take
on.
Off those suicidal thoughts. Yes. Take off the anxiety.
Yes, God.
Take off the homosexuality.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Take off the pain of that molestation.
Yes, God.
Take off your judgment.
Yes,
Take off your impatience.
Wow.
Ouch.
Oh my God.
Ouch.
Right.
Ouch.
Take off your lack of discipline. Take off the lack of self-control. Take off the false humility. Take off the arrogance. Take off the self-centeredness. Stop just saying, Lord, you take it. That's what I hear Holy Spirit saying right now. We petition him, Lord, you take it. No, I told you not to take it in the first place. I didn't give it to you, so I'm not going to take it. You got to take it. I told you not to be conformed. So if you're stuck in the conformity, you got to make the decision to take it off. But what I love, because like I said, we're not conformed into this image because we can easily take it off when it no longer suits us. LaVon and Jerusha, now we're going to try to play this in real time on both. Y'all can play the video. Now you won't see me on the screen, but you'll hear me. This is a video of a butterfly of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And when I was studying this, the Lord said, this is, can you cut this out? This is what I need for you to do. I need you to completely metamorphose into the creation I designed for you to be. See, this is all of a process. These are all the things that the butterfly goes through to get ready for a whole new life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Pause it right here for a second, ladies. Pause it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says in the process, he's wiggling underneath his skin. He's wiggling underneath his skin. Help me, Holy Spirit. Some of the strain that somebody is feeling right now is because the Lord is causing you to wiggle underneath the weight of the conformed skin that you got. You took on the presence and identity of the problems that you went through. You took on the presence and identity of the world because everybody else do it. You took on the presence and identity of things that God did not design for you. And the strain that you feel isn't a shift just in the spiritual. It isn't just the enemy coming up against you. God is causing you to wiggle. You know, when you wiggle, it's constant movement. Some of us have constant movement right now because God is causing us to wiggle in our natural skin because there's about to be an outburst in the spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There's about to be an outburst. So the wiggling in this process, in this season, is because there's about to be an outburst. Oh, Dick, I didn't know you could. You turned the camera. Amen. She had it, though. She had it. Play the video. We got to get ready to get out of here. Y'all pray for me. So he's wiggling. And he splits his skin open. Pause it again. He splits the skin. The cutting, again, is part of the process. We are being transformed. So there is a cutting away that has to take place in order for the Lord, for who you are, for the production of who you really are, to be burst out into the spiritual realm, for others to really get ready to experience the fullness of who you are. But you gotta be willing to wiggle and get cut. You gotta wiggle. I don't know why they're sticking with me, y'all. You gotta wiggle. That conformity like you. The ways of the world like you. You've been like that 30-something years. It like you. And truth be told, you like it. Can I be honest? I used to like cussing folk out because they knew not to bother me. I got so good at it, they knew better. Don't even bother. You see her face? Soon as you go over there, she go, blah, blah, blah. And I got comfortable with it until the Lord said, can bitter and sweet come from the same? Oh, let me help you. I ain't talking about when I was in the world. I meant after I professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even after I began preaching and teaching the word on a good day, if they got me at the wrong moment, the words were still. And God was like, how? How are you comfortable preaching my word, but you're a hypocrite, and you have explained away your hypocrisy? God, you know what she did to me. I didn't ask you what she did. I asked you, who did I call you to be? I asked you, how are you supposed to operate in my characteristic? Last time I checked, even when my son was getting beaten and ridiculed and torn apart for you, he ain't cussed them. What he said? Father, forgive them. Are you more important than my son? That you get to cuss them out because you don't like how they, my son ain't like how they beat him and tore his flesh and pierced him in the side and nailed him to a cross. He ain't like me turning my face from him, but he still said, Father, forgive them. Who do you think you are? You better wiggle up under that stuff, girl. And while I was wiggling, and I thought I was doing something good, Sister Joyce, I'm growing, here come them chairs. He split the skin. And I was like, the blood of Jesus is against you, enemy. You're trying to do all of this stuff to me. And God was like, no, you're still in the process. Just because you're still struggling some things, don't think he won't come. This is what I love. He comes to cut it off of you, to give you an easier ability to get out of it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Y'all can play the video. Play the video. Because we got 3 minutes. So he splits the skin. Watch this. Shedding his former self. Hallelujah. You can stop it right there. We got to go through the process. Because when we're transformed, when we learn how to wiggle out of some stuff, and we learn to allow the Lord to come with the spiritual shears and split the skin and split the things that we have allowed to encompass us or embrace us, what happens next is the shell becomes harder, and then the fullness of the manifestation or the metamorphosis into the butterfly, to the beautiful thing. And this is what I hear the Lord saying, help me, Holy Spirit. I ain't gonna look at nobody. I'm just gonna look down. But some of us we don't want to go through the ugliness of the process, not realizing once we get through the metamorphosis, there's going to be a beautiful outcome. We're going to have a beautiful presence. Some of us right now have an ugly disposition, and God is like, if you will allow me to take you through the transformation, I'm going to change that ugliness into something beautiful. And can I only use my own life as a witness? I just said I used to cuss folk out. But now, because I've allowed myself to be transformed and continually, listen, we're going to continually go through the process of being transformed. But now people no longer run when they see me. Now they actually come because I no longer speak words of death, but I speak words of life. And I've allowed God. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I'm still being transformed. And somebody needs to know, you will constantly be transformed into his image. But you got to constantly go through the process, meaning there's going to be a time where you're going to look beautiful, and there's going to be a time where God is going to say, but you're still holding on to this. So wiggle out of this. You don't curse them out no more, but you're still a little mean. So I need you to wiggle out of what the world says. You know, speak. I told you to speak the truth in love, and they tell you, tell it like it is. And you trying to marry the two, and God is like, it don't work like that. I said, speak the truth in love, not harshly, but in love. You see, it's too much of the world in us. And we keep asking God, when you gonna change what we're going through? And he's like, when my universal body wiggles out of some of the stuff that you find yourselves in. God, you know, what is the phrase now? Speak truth to power. However it come out, that's however it come out. Dang, what God said. You speaking truth to power with hatefulness. Ain't no power in that. You speaking truth to power being judgmental. Ain't no power in that. You speaking truth to power condemning everybody to hell. Ain't no power in that. And the power of God. We got to be transformed. And we still in this thing going what we going through. Because we've been operating in conformity. And I'm going to go. This is why I hear Holy Spirit saying. Because you see, this cloak is dual. On one side is a pattern.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody come help me.
So you have to. Yes. So it's just like that. That's it. Oh. That word. I couldn't do it by myself. And just like you can't transform by yourself, you need the aid of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. But the problem is, some of us look like this in the spirit. We ain't called to be two-toned in the Lord. We ain't called to halfway look one way and on the other side. We are called to wholeness in Christ, to reflect only Jesus. So we have the stripes that we carry, but we have the taintedness of the world. And even though this might be a style, the way that I'm wearing it, Holy Spirit, thank you, is reminiscent of how we look like. It's not supposed to be balled up and doubled up on the good side. It's not so. Here's the problem. Underneath, you still only hiding what's really there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And some of us look like that in real life. We portray the world most of the days. But then we want to point to people. But I got a little godliness. You don't see it right there. But sis, underneath it still, you're still conforming. You're still living outside of God's plan. He didn't cause you to be, to. Holy Spirit, what's the word? He didn't call you to be two-toned. He didn't call you to do that. He called you just to reflect, transform yourself into Jesus. And we look crazy when we try to carry both and wonder why people are confused. Like Mix is looking at me right now like, Auntie, what are you doing? That's what people say when they see us living half-heartedly for Lord. What are you doing? Why are you living like this and professing Christ when it feels good to you? But when your flesh wanna have its way, you give over and you, I see this.
That's the overlapping side.
God didn't cause us to overlap the natural and the spiritual as believers. He called us just to reflect, be transformed into the image of his son. I pray that the sermon was helpful. Again, I know it wasn't a shout hallelujah, but I pray we leave here changed. Because it's time out for just feeling good and not really living good. Because not only is the world watching, but God our Father is watching. So